thing bad about me. So there's plenty he could have said, but he left that out, and I appreciate it. And it's a great blessing to be with you here this morning. And it was interesting that Steve mentioned the sounds to me that were going on earlier, and because I was already thinking about, you know, how much I had enjoyed the sound of your singing, just a beautiful. Your hearts making that music coming from your voices, and the brothers who were sharing audibly, I appreciated that so much. And he mentioned the translation, which I love that. That is so neat to me. I'm just one of those people that is all about the body of Christ and from every tribe and tongue and nation, and I'm looking forward to heaven. And being able to understand maybe different languages. I don't know if I will be then or not. But another thing I really enjoyed was hearing the little babies. That is so sweet to me. I just love that. So if any of your babies want to say amen during this next part, I'll be rejoicing in that. Speaking of little babies, two of our grandchildren are with my wife today. That's why she's not with me here. Our son and his wife have gone to a memorial service down at the coast for her aunt. So my wife has the two granddaughters. One is 4 years old. The other one is almost a year and a half, and they spent the night with us because our son and daughter-in-law had to leave very early this morning, about 6:15, and we thought, let's just let them stay with us tonight and tomorrow night. And so when they got over here to our house last evening, the little almost 1.5-year-old Amaya, she came over to me, and I picked her up, and one of the first thing I noticed about her, there was something on her lip. And I thought, what is that? Is it a piece of food? Is it a piece of dirt? I mean, she's 17 months old. It could be like anything, right? I mean, it could be anything. So I just kind of brushed that off. I don't know if you've ever had anybody ask you, what's that on your lip or on your mouth or on your face? My wife does that frequently for me. The older I get, the more frequently she graciously does that. But I just want to look at a part of a verse in Proverbs chapter 22 during this time we have together. Proverbs chapter 22, and one thing about the Proverbs you probably well know, as well as being a book of wisdom, it's also a book that appears to be somewhat, I don't want to say scattered or random, because that makes it sound like it's not intentional, in which obviously it is, because the Spirit of God has put it together. But we don't necessarily have a context, is what I'm trying to say. So in that, I feel comfortable pulling out this verse. In fact, a phrase out of this verse is verse 11 in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 in verse 11 says, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." So notice that little phrase in the middle of the verse. Grace on his lips. Grace on his lips. I wonder if anyone has ever looked at you or me and said, "Excuse me, is that grace on your lips? Is that grace on your lips?" We think about our lips, and of course, they're used for different things. I saw a little post or whatever you would call it the other day on Instagram, and it was this guy, and he said that men who kiss their wives goodbye or whenever they're leaving the house, they live 4 years longer. Anybody see that? That was it. I mean, I know I can believe it, right? 4 years longer. And then he went on to say that if you want to lengthen your life even more, guys, that if we kiss our wives for 6 seconds. I've started doing that too. It's very interesting. Instead of a peck, a 6-second kiss, or alternatively, a 20-second hug. Okay, so just a little extra information for you. So we think about our lips and what our lips are used for, but obviously when we come to the Scriptures, the primary use of our lips is for speaking. We're thinking about our verbal, audible communication. And then the other main word in this little phrase, grace on his lips, is the word grace. Unmerited favor, getting something good that we don't deserve. Well, I'm thankful that our God is a God of communication. We have the Word of God, right, that we're looking at this morning and that we hold so dear. It's our authority. It's God's communication to us. And then we're thankful that He's a God of grace. As we've been reminded already in remembering the Lord Jesus, were He not a God of grace, we would not be here this morning. So just in the little bit of time that we have, I want us just to look four really quick, I'll do my best to make it very quick, four quick glimpses of grace on your lips. Grace as you speak, okay? First of all, speaking by grace. Okay? Speaking by grace. We're just going to switch the prepositions up in these four things. It'll be easy to remember. First of all, speaking by grace. And that we could call that our might, our ability, or grace-empowered speech. You know, God is under no obligation to empower us to physically have the ability to speak. You know, our ability and to communicate verbally and audibly, we have to admit it's all of God's grace. So apart from God's grace, you and I would not be able to speak a word. It reminds us of the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the one who is before all things, according to Colossians 1:17. And in Him, all things consist. Not just the universe, but your ability to speak. You're speaking, whenever you speak, you are speaking by grace. And in that sense, everyone, every human being who has the ability to verbally and audibly communicate does so by the grace of God. And we could go into all of our anatomy and all that's involved. It's pretty amazing, and some of you know way better than I do because of your background or because of your interest and things you've read and studied. All that is involved anatomically in just being able to communicate. There's so much there. And it's all by grace. And in another sense, for the believer in the Lord Jesus, we not only speak by grace in the sense that we have the physical ability to speak, but as believers in the Lord Jesus, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4 in just a little while, but in verse 7 we read, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And there he speaks of the spiritual gifts for the believers. And obviously, some of those gifts are speaking gifts. Other gifts are serving gifts. But as believers, we have the privilege of being able to speak by grace. So know it or not, you have grace on your lips in that you speak by grace. Well, secondly, not only do we have speaking by grace, we have speaking because of grace. So speaking by grace, that was our motive. That was our might. Now speaking because of grace, that is our motive. It's our reason for speaking. And so when we have grace on our lips, not only is it because we're able to speak, but it also should be grace-motivated speech. So what motivates me to speak? What motivates me to say what I say? What motivates you? And we could think and come up with a lot of different motivations. And in all honesty, at different times in our lives, different moments in conversing, we probably have different motives for speaking. But what a joy to be able to speak because of grace. God's grace to us should be a powerful motivator for speaking. When I realize and meditate on and reflect on and embrace the fact that God's grace has been extended so abundantly to me, I move to speak differently than when I'm not appreciative of that grace of God in my life. What a difference that makes. Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Abundance of grace. That's the grace that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, grace is not the only proper motivator for speaking. The fear of the Lord, a desire to please the Lord, a burden for other people, all of those should be a part of motivating us to speak. But what a wonderful motivator grace should be for me to speak. What motivates my speech? Never forget the grace that we have received. Meditate on that grace. Allow it to motivate us to speak rightly to others for God. Thirdly, speaking with grace. And this may be the first thing that comes to your mind, I don't know. But speaking with grace. So we've seen speaking by grace. That's our might. That's grace-empowered speech. And then speaking because of grace, that's our motive, our reason for speaking, grace-motivated speech. Well, now we have speaking with grace, and that's the manner. It's the way of doing something. We might call this gracious speech. Gracious speech. You know, how we speak. It really does matter. We would like sometimes to think, well, it doesn't matter. As long as I say the right thing, it doesn't matter how I say the right thing. But of course it does. We also see in Ephesians chapter 4, and you've already studied it, that we're to speak the truth in love. In love. And our tone can communicate our motive. Our tone can communicate our attitude. What does it mean to speak with grace? Again, I suggest it's speaking in a gracious manner. In a gracious manner. That word gracious would bring the idea of something that was pleasantly kind, that was expressing goodwill, that was courteous. Now, obviously, there are times when our child is running into the street that we may not feel we're speaking graciously, but we are motivated by grace and we're speaking by grace. And even then, hopefully, we are speaking with grace. In fact, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, what does the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to write? Let your speech always be with grace. Always be with grace. Season with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Interesting what the opposite of that is, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. May we make it our goal to speak to others with grace, in a gracious manner, as the Lord Jesus did. Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, we read that all bore witness to Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. so much that they said, is this not Joseph's son? Like, wow. Look, Joseph, you know, I don't know if that's a reflection on Joseph that he didn't always speak so graciously or not, but the Lord Jesus, he spoke with grace. And I want him to speak graciously through me. And I am confident that if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's at least something within you that desires for the Lord to speak graciously through you as well. Speaking with grace, our manner. And then finally, speaking about grace. Speaking about grace. Is that grace on your lips? Are you speaking by grace? Are you speaking because of grace? Are you speaking with grace? Are you speaking about grace? If you want another M, you can use motif from the arts, a central recurring theme. That should be grace on our lips, grace themed. Speech. What do I talk about? What do I talk about? Maybe I'm blessed that very few of you really know me that well, or you might question me. But I'm preaching to myself as well if you question whether grace is on my lips as much as it should be. Grace on my lips also means that grace will be a frequent topic of my conversation. You know, God's grace should be referenced, I believe, directly. I believe I should tell other people about God's grace and use that wording. But it also, I think, should be communicated indirectly. Maybe I don't actually use the word, but I'm still communicating about the grace of God and how it has impacted me and how it can impact others. Paul himself, in the letters that we have in the New Testament that we know he wrote, we have grace mentioned 89 times. He specifically, directly mentions grace 89 times in his letters. I believe that Paul had grace on his lips. He was speaking about grace. So maybe a question could be for us, does God's grace saturate my mind and my heart so much that it flows from my lips? We know the Lord Jesus said, recorded in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, that the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. The heart, the mind, the emotions, the will. It's out of that, the Lord Jesus said, that what is in my heart, it's going to come out and it's going to be on my lips, and others will, whether I think they do or not, they're going to notice what's on my lips. They are. The people around you, they notice. Maybe more than you realize, they notice. They notice the manner with which you speak. They notice if the words you speak are gracious. They notice if you're speaking about grace. People close to me, they know that. Oh, how I desire that God's grace would saturate my mind and heart, that it flows naturally out of me, that grace will be such a big deal to me that it will come out of my lips. The gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. Do I talk about that? Oh, when I share with others, is the fact that the gospel is the gospel of grace, is that coming out of my lips? Or do they get the thought that, well, be a good person and you'll be okay with God? Or do they realize that, wow, he knows he's not a perfect person, as our brother shared this morning in the Lord's Supper in his own life. May the motif of grace be on my lips. Grace on your lips. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. You know, that's king and my Bible here with a small K, but I'm much more concerned that the King with the capital K is my friend. And again, it's going to be by grace. It's not going to be because I earned it by making sure I was talking about grace, but know how thankful we are that by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works. And how thankful I am that He is the friend of sinners. Speaking by grace, grace-empowered speech, speaking because of grace, a grace-motivated speech, speaking with grace, gracious speech, speaking about grace, grace-themed speech. Just two verses as we close up. One we'll look at this morning at 11 o'clock. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Maybe it'll be a little segue into that as I just read it for you now. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The Spirit of God again led Paul to write that. That we must be on guard about corrupt words coming out of our mouths. Rather, we should seek to be those who have what is beneficial to come out of our mouths, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And one final verse, I'll ask you to turn there because you're not far away if you're in Proverbs 22. We're going to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, beautiful verse about our Savior, here in this messianic psalm, Psalm 45. And we'll read verse 1 too, because it kind of ties in with our lips. It talks about our tongues. And the psalmist here says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme," a good motif, we might say. "I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Now here's what he says. We're speaking to the Lord Jesus here. "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever." The Lord Jesus, grace poured on His lips. Father, thank You for gathering us this morning. It's been a wonderful joy to remember Your Son, to focus on Him, how gracious He is. And Lord, thank You for this time of meditation on this phrase in Proverbs 22 that makes us think about grace being on our lips. And Lord, we know how important that really is. And Father, help us to embrace that importance, to allow You by Your grace to work in our hearts and in our minds, that You would direct us and, as necessary, redirect us, Lord, that we might be those who are noticed to have grace on our lips. So we just commend ourselves to You. We thank You for Your grace to us, and we ask these things in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank